The ideas of the late Freeman Dyson remain among the most widely known in futurism and in trying to extrapolate the future and even alien technology. Most famously is his concept of surrounding a star with structures to create a Dyson swarm or shell, though he did not call it a Dyson sphere. He left that intentionally vague because it could be done for any number of reasons in a bunch of different ways. It was actually Nikolai Kardashev that coined the phrase Dyson sphere. Another less famous, but still floating around out there, idea is that of Dyson's sunflowers. These actually were envisioned not as human or alien constructs, though they could be, but an actual consequence of natural evolution on a world very different from our own. Think Europa and Enceladus, where life makes its way up through the cracks to the surface, and somehow survives and can sustain itself while it evolves the ability to harness sunlight, and you get a Dyson sunflower that might evolve mirror-like petals to focus sunlight onto the plant. While that may seem a stretch, we do know that plants on Earth can sometimes do some very bizarre things, that had we not discovered it, we wouldn't have believed it possible. A carnivorous Venus flytrap comes to mind, as do Earth sunflowers that track the sun across a day. And after all, nature finds a way. So such things as Dyson sunflowers might exist somewhere out there, or they may not, having gone extinct after a particularly culinary-aware alien species from another star system entirely uses them up as garnishes for their favorite dish, called that one Gaudier's Chef. But there are actually several lesser-known ideas that Freeman Dyson proposed that don't get quite that level of attention, even within circles that think about such things. One of them is the concept of Dyson's trees, though in fairness there are a number of examples of them in past science fiction. The idea of a Dyson tree first requires genetic engineering. You probably won't have these things evolving naturally, which makes them a form of technology. They don't have to be a tree, they can be any number of types of plants, but a tree is a good place to start. It's essentially a plant designed to grow on a comet. It would work like a tree does here on Earth. There's often just as much of it in its root system than its foliage. So a large part of it would be rooting down into the comet to collect nutrients and water. The foliage, as it were, would collect sunlight and photosynthesize. This would be useful to an engineer because plants produce oxygen, and if they do it long enough, you end up with some type of breathable atmosphere for a human located inside the comet, on its surface, maybe in a dome, or even within the plant itself. You'd have to trap that oxygen, but that's not necessarily a serious problem. As a result, you get something close to a self-sustaining habitat, but you'd very likely have to genetically engineer the plant to produce much more oxygen than an Earth plant would, even for a small colony space. Interestingly, there is another aspect. Certain Earth plants are thermogenic. They actually have evolved the ability to generate heat, proving that plants can evolve and have the ability to do it. Heat is also useful when dealing with a comet, especially if you're in a situation where solar energy is low, which is likely for a comet because if you get too close to the sun, its volatiles start evaporating. While an interesting idea and hypothetically possible, I don't know that a Dyson tree system would be the best way to do it. If you really want to grow trees in space and utilize their oxygen-making capabilities, it's much better to put genetically modified trees inside sealed O'Neill cylinders because you gain a number of advantages, including artificial gravity, if the cylinder is rotating. Whereas choosing a comet for nutrients only benefits from the fact that it has water, but only a finite amount, though recycling water can be very efficient. The other is that access to strong solar energy is always going to be useful. You can see this effect in how we do things now. Whenever we launch solar system probes, we solar power them, if they are close enough to the sun to collect up suitable energy. Sometimes we do not. Mars is a wild card here, in that you can, and we have, sent solar-powered spacecraft there. We've also sent nuclear-powered RTG probes that were more suited for the task. The current large rovers operating on Mars are nuclear-powered, but anything in the outer solar system is best done with nuclear energy because of a lack of strong solar energy. This probably creates another issue for the Dyson tree as originally envisioned because you need strong solar energy for a photosynthesizing tree. Granted, such a thing could be made to completely block sunlight and thus change the equation for the comet melting and forming a coma and tail, but in the end it may be more trouble than it's worth compared to other means of space colonization. This differs very much from the next Dyson concept, the Astro Chicken. This really is an expansion on the ideas of John von Neumann, famous for many reasons, but in this context his idea of a von Neumann self-replicating probe. He was actually more widely interested in the idea of automatons in general. As I've covered many times, a von Neumann probe is a self-replicating autonomous probe that can make copies of itself, and very efficiently place one of its copies in every star system in a galaxy in under a few million years at sublight doable speeds. Dyson took this further, and he didn't initially call it an Astro Chicken. An audience member at a lecture did, because it actually does bear some kind of an odd resemblance to a chicken. Dyson himself later began using the term. So the idea is this. You have a von Neumann probe, but it's very small, only about a kilogram as he envisioned. It's fully autonomous and could self-replicate, and thus explore space, even just a star system, at a much faster rate than a crewed spacecraft could ever hope to do. This would be really useful if your motive was to hyper-monitor your own star system. You just send out one of these things and it self-replicates, and then they all begin self-replicating and moving around until you've got webcams everywhere in your star system. You probably don't need that, but it would certainly be useful to have such probes at your planets, taking data 24/7 from all angles. Dyson, however, proposed much more than just that. His thought experiment actually intersects ideas from biology into the technology. It goes like this. The Astro Chicken starts with one mother spacecraft ejecting it to do its mission. In this sense, it's like a chicken laying an egg. The egg then hatches, and the Astro Chicken begins growing a solar energy collector. This could be as simple as deploying one, but in far future technology scenarios might include building one with molecular nanotechnology. The enormous energy collector then provides the energy for an ion drive, so the chicken can move around. It then heads off for planets, asteroids, comets, wherever it's destined. When it gets there, it then begins to harvest materials. This is analogous to a chicken eating chicken feed to collect nutrients. While doing this, and it would need more propulsion than an ion drive to accomplish this, it could return geological and other data about what it's eating to Earth, along with the data on the planet and so on. Say it's feeding on Saturn's ring system. It then uses those nutrients to create another egg, thus completing the chicken cycle. That egg then does the same thing, and moves on to somewhere else to monitor it and lay another egg. Here there are pros and cons of the Astro Chicken. One major con is that it requires a lot of autonomy, while doing something very complex, which is manufacturing a copy of itself. This is not impossible, and we're getting increasingly better at doing things in space autonomously, but we're going to need to get a bit further for a full-on manufacturing process. And that's another con. You need the infrastructure of a manufacturing process in place, but also in a very small package. Possible in the far future, perhaps, at least with nanotechnological assemblers, but right now, we could never make such a thing small. The best we can do today is launch the equivalent of a mine and an automotive plant into space. But the pros of the Astro Chicken are also there, if you assume that we'll successfully develop better and smaller technologies. The current trend of deploying small CubeSats that are really capable for their purpose is there, and they are getting smaller. Smaller in space is cheaper. You can either launch one, or a few CubeSats with a small rocket, or a whole lot of them with a large one. Small ultimately means less fuel, even for the Astro Chicken. And with the continued miniaturization of electronics, a 1 kilogram Astro Chicken could in the future contain instrumentation comparable, but not exactly like, that of a full flagship probe. I suspect there are limits on just how much you can shrink certain scientific instruments used in planetary research. The instruments would almost certainly be radically different than much of what we use today, but again, there are limits. Think about a telescope. Small is not desirable. We go the opposite for those, and we build them bigger and bigger because nature dictates that we do that, or it's not going to work. Same with many instruments. You want to find out, you have to go big. But in the end, the Astro Chicken is useful as a framework for thought experiments on just how we could employ thinking like it to spur innovation on much more developed ideas that we could actually construct right now. because the initial idea was so abstract and out of the box to begin with, something Dyson was well known for. But he did have other ideas, so I leave you with a somewhat spooky one. This one is known as Dyson's Eternal Intelligence, where he envisioned a society that has achieved immortality through their technology, perhaps immortal astro chickens. They end up realizing that the universe is going to undergo a heat death that will not permit them to function any longer. They find out that they are not immortal. How they get past it is that they perform an infinite number of calculations, working on finite energy that aliens anticipated they'd need and stored. But they would only use half of that energy. At some point, they would go dormant and save the other half until the universe was dead. Then they would begin computing again, which could be in the form of them having uploaded themselves into a computer. But since it's working on infinite computations using finite energy, meaning the computations would be slower and slower as the universe cooled, but they would be infinite, thus to them, from their perspective, they appear to have defeated the death of the universe. That one again is a thought experiment, and even Dyson said that if certain things about the universe end up being true, it won't work. And who knows if infinite computation is possible, but it's an interesting thought nonetheless. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently deeply concerned about the unsaid things about an astro chicken. If it really ends up being something like a chicken, some poor astronaut out there encountering one, or worse, an alien, could end up getting mercilessly pecked, as in put a hole in the spacesuit. Not good, especially if the chicken is immortal. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.